Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see a rich man enjoying life. You see a poor man, so sick and so poor that he can't work. He has to beg for his every meal. What does reason conclude about these two men? Reason concludes that God rewards the one whom he considers righteous, whom he favors. The rich man is prosperous. Therefore, God favors the rich man. God sends afflictions on the one whom he considers to be wicked. The poor man is afflicted. Therefore, God considers the poor man to be wicked. That's the judgment of reason. Poverty and afflictions are a sign of God's contempt. Riches and prosperity are a sign of God's favor. But reason's reasoning is flawed for many reasons. But most of all, reason's reasoning is flawed because it ignores this important truth. This earthly life is not God's main venue for giving out rewards and punishments. The real reckoning is revealed in the next life. That's the point Jesus was driving home in his parable of the rich man and poor Lazarus. It's not a simple warning for the rich to share with the poor or else they'll go to hell. Far from it. It's a message to rich and poor. Don't be deceived by appearances. Prosperity in this life is not necessarily a sign of God's favor, and affliction in this life is not necessarily a sign of God's contempt. Your lot in life here on earth, whether it lasts for only a few months or whether it lasts for 100+ years, is not all you get. It's the proverbial drop in the bucket compared to the everlasting joys or punishments of the next life. Your lot in life here is not a reliable indicator then of God's favor or displeasure. According to Jesus' parable, the rich man was dressed in fine clothes and fared sumptuously every day. He received good things in this life. Lazarus, on the other hand, spent his earthly days sick, poor, and begging, yearning for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He received bad things. But death took them both, as death always does. Rich and poor, male and female, celebrities and nobodies, kings and peasants. And in this case, their situations were completely reversed in the next life. Poor Lazarus wasn't poor anymore. His soul was at peace, and he rested comfortably in God's presence with all the saints, with all the righteous who had gone before him, most notably Father Abraham. Here, Lazarus received good things. The rich man's soul, on the other hand, was in torment and flame, far removed from God's presence and from his saints. As Lazarus had yearned for the rich man's crumbs in this life, so in the next life, the rich man yearned for just a drop of water from Lazarus. Here he received his bad things. Now, knowing how things turned out in the end, do you think Lazarus wished he could have gone back into this life and traded places with the rich man? No, not for a second. His life on earth had been hard, but that was over now. He endured the hardship and made it through, and now there would be no more hardship or pain. And knowing how things turned out, do you think that the rich man there in Hades was able to look back at his wonderful life and bask in the good memories of the good times? Not for a moment. The rich man realized too late that he had squandered his earthly life, and it was not worth it in the end. Hell is a worse punishment and torture than anyone on earth imagines it to be. We may speak metaphorically of a person who is going through hell, but that's just a metaphor. Let me assure you, hell itself is still much, much worse, because for as much as it may seem like our present troubles have no end in sight, there will most certainly be an end to them. Not so with the torments of hell. Now, the rich man learned from Abraham that there was no possibility of him receiving any help from anyone on the other side. And there was also no chance of him ever crossing over to that other side. As the writer to the Hebrews says, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Or as Abraham put it, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. So the rich man in hell turned his thoughts to his brothers who were still alive on earth. What could be done for them? How could they avoid this place of torment? Maybe sending Lazarus back to them from the dead. No, says Abraham, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And the rich man said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Here, Moses and the prophets, the Bible, the Word of God. That's what the rich man's brothers needed. That's what you need. That's what everyone needs. To hear the law of God recorded in Holy Scripture and to let it have its effect. Moses is the one who wrote and revealed how sin entered the world through Adam, and that all men born of Adam are born in sin and subject to sin's curse, which includes all manner of sickness, suffering, poverty, and finally death. All of which is not necessarily then a direct punishment from God, but the general curse under which all sinners still live in this world. So the poverty and the sickness of Lazarus wasn't a good indicator at all of whether or not God had accepted him. As for the riches of the rich man, here's what Moses had to say about wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. God does give wealth to some people, but He also requires those people to hear His voice and to obey His commandments. And that the rich man never found time to do. He was too busy enjoying his life to care about God or to care about man. Even to care enough about that beggar at his gates to send him the crumbs that fell from his table. So hear Moses and the prophets as they reveal your sin. And then hear Moses and the prophets as they call you to repent and look to God for mercy. Not because you deserve it, but because of Christ alone. As the psalm says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. That redemption is wrapped up in Christ the Redeemer. Abraham knew that, one of the richest men alive at his time, and righteous in God's sight, not because of his good deeds, not because of his obedience, but through faith alone in God's promise to forgive sins for the sake of the coming Christ. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Whether you're rich or poor, prosperous or afflicted, it's this same message of sin, repentance, and God's forgiveness through Christ that you all need to hear and believe. Because what you're suffering here, or the life you're enjoying here on earth, will soon be over. And the good things here and the bad things here won't matter at all anymore. The real reckoning will be revealed in the next life. So for now, if you're impoverished or sick or otherwise miserable in this life, take heart. Don't despair. Don't give up. Don't imagine that God is displeased with you because of how difficult things are, or that you're alone in your suffering. Lazarus appeared to have been abandoned by God, but in reality, God was there with him, ready to bear his soul home to Abraham's bosom at just the right time, to endure hardship for Christ's sake without giving in to despair, is a blessed thing, a precious good work in the sight of God, and has God's own seal of approval. It's what Jesus did, after all. We can make an application here to suicide. People commit suicide because their life is hard in one way or another. It's not what they want it to be. Even Christians can be tempted to end the suffering here, thinking that even hell itself must be better than what they're suffering now, or that God will understand if they choose to cut their life short and will bring them safely into paradise anyway. But those are both lies from the devil. Learn the lesson of Lazarus. Lazarus suffered until his last breath, whenever that was, when the Lord himself, in his own time, chose finally to end his earthly suffering and send his angels to collect Lazarus' soul. So if you're suffering in this life, keep hearing God's word and receiving his sacraments. And you have God's promise to sustain you in faith by his Spirit, to help you persevere until the end, to enable you to bear the cross with patience until the suffering is past and the comfort of the next life is revealed. Or maybe you don't really suffer. Everyone suffers in this life. It's still a world under a curse. But maybe you don't suffer that much compared to other people, or maybe it's just that you're not suffering right now, but fare sumptuously every day, like the rich man did, or I dare say as most Americans and most of us here do. What will you do with this time when you have all you need and more? You could focus on enjoying life like the rich man did and maintaining this lifestyle while ignoring both God and man. But then you would end up like the rich man in the parable and regretting it all in the end. Instead, if you have a moment of comfort, a moment of peace, a moment of prosperity, a moment of leisure where you're not scrambling just to survive, use it. Use this time wisely. Use it to hear God's word, his law and his gospel. Walk in the new obedience of the children of God. Walk with the Holy Spirit and set aside your passions, your desires, your selfish goals, and devote your life every moment to God's service within your own vocation. Turn your gaze outward. Turn toward your neighbor in need, and especially your brother in Christ, who sits at your gate, yearning for just a little help, for even the leftovers of the prosperity with which you have been entrusted. Rich or poor, carefree or weighted down with cares, train your reason to submit to God's word, and don't assume God's approval or disapproval based on how much or how little you have or you suffer in this life. God's approval comes for Christ's sake alone and through faith alone in Him. That reckoning takes place right here and right now, but it will be most surely revealed in the next life. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.